It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The AT&T Byron Nelson is moving out of Las Colinas a year earlier than expected. Tournament officials announced today the annual event is moving in 2018 to a new course in southeast Dallas. The Trinity Forest Golf Club is about 10 miles from downtown. It opened for play this month. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings spoke today at the golf course.
It's a great time for Dallas. We do not have a golf course like this with a pro tournament. When the cameras roll and they look up these fairways, no one will believe that this is Texas. The beauty of the forest circling this links course is truly remarkable.
Byron Nelson has been at the TPC Four Seasons Golf Course in Las Colinas since the early 1980s. Trinity Forest is an 18-hole links-style course designed by former PGA Tour player Ben Crenshaw and designer Bill Coor. Pro golfer Jordan Spieth has been practicing there since January, and he's excited.
It's very, very challenging, but it's a lot of fun, and the fact that it's so unique and now you bring in a lot more of the city is going to, I think, attract not only the players, but it's going to attract a lot more people. I've been a Dallas resident my entire life and live in Dallas County. Really incredible to have this tournament take kind of a notch forward.
City and tournament officials hope the new course will encourage golfers to participate in the tournament. Trinity Forest will also house Dallas's first tee youth program and the SMU golf team. The final Byron Nelson in Las Colinas will be in May. Early voting continues in Texas, and turnout remains high in several counties. Turnout shattered records Monday on day one, and more records were set yesterday. For the next 2 weeks, we'll be hearing voices of North Texas voters as they cast their early ballots. Today, KERA's Christopher Connolly and Gus Contreras talked with voters in Latino neighborhoods in Arlington and West Dallas. Paloma Beltran is 22 years old and from Arlington. She supports the Republican nominee Donald Trump, despite his controversial comments on immigration.
I'm Hispanic, and I think the whole, like, how all the Hispanics are coming saying that he was doing this wrong, I don't think he was necessarily doing it wrong. I think the way he voiced it was wrong, but I do think that there's a way to do everything, and there are laws to abide by when you do things. So to come somewhere illegally from anywhere, not just from Mexico, from anywhere in the world, and do it illegally, it's a crime.
Rosa Azuara is 47 and supporting Democrat Hillary Clinton.
Definitely, I do not want somebody like Donald Trump to be representing me at all. It's not what the United States stands for, and definitely not a lot of people. The way he behaves, the way he just represents us, you know, there's a lot of people watching. We're a country.
Clemente Guzman is 81 and from West Dallas.
I'm with Mrs. Clinton because it looks like she's promising good things for us Latinos.
Gabriela Montiel is 22 and voting at the West Dallas campus of El Centro College. That's where she goes to school.
So I can let my voice be heard and to represent all my Latinos, to help out Mexicans and to help us that are trying to go to college and become someone in life.
Learn more about early voting in North Texas. Visit keranews.org, where we have a map of polling locations as well as a listing of issues and races on the ballot. It may seem like Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump have nothing in common. Each candidate, though, has ideas that stray from their party platforms. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with journalist John B. Judas about why populist movements formed behind these two candidates.
There's this economic element within the Trump's candidacy that was also characteristic of Sanders, and that I think comes about because of a response to the Great Recession. And that's what, again, that's what makes that the Trump phenomenon interesting. And again, goes back to Ross Perot, for instance, who was also came about in the wake of a big recession in 1991. So there's something happening in the United States, and it has more, it does have something to do with the dissatisfaction with the rules by which our economy has been governed.
John B. Judas is the author of The Populist Explosion, How the Great Recession Transformed American and European Politics. This episode of Think airs tonight at 9, and you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. Texas. It's been a Republican stronghold in presidential races for the last 40 years. But Donald Trump has led Hillary Clinton by only single-digit margins in recent polls. KERA's Sam Baker talked about why and what's possible in Texas for Democrats with Ross Ramsey, executive editor of the Texas Tribune.
Donald Trump, Why isn't he doing as well as Republican candidates of the past?
In Texas, most of the Republicans were for someone else earlier in the race. There's a lot of Cruz supporters, mm-hmm. a lot of Rick Perry supporters. Yeah. Ideologically, Trump isn't their kind of a Republican. He's their nominee, but they're looking at him and saying, you know, I'm just uncomfortable with that.
Was that even before the audio tape came out about his comments regarding women?
There was still some disquiet before. I think that crystallized it. You know, the tendency is if your nominee wasn't your candidate, mm-hmm. you kind of grumble your way into the convention, the Bernie Sanders people into the Democratic convention. But people generally come home. Democrats go to Democrats. Republicans go to Republicans. It hasn't happened with Trump as it normally does. He's still got some Republicans out there who aren't sure they're going to vote for him.
Still, Hillary Clinton bought TV ad time and online as well.
Not a lot,
but still she bought some in Dallas and three other major markets in Texas. Is that just confidence? Or is there any reason to believe maybe this thing might go her way in Texas?
I think that's just her elbowing him in the ribs. Part of it is telling your supporters, I'm paying attention to you. And part of it is just getting Texas Democrats jazzed up a little bit. The Democrats haven't won a presidential election in Texas since Jimmy Carter in 1976. Mm-hmm. They've only had two single-digit elections in the nine elections that followed that one.
So is it possible that even if she loses Texas, as long as it's in single digits, that's a victory of sorts?
Sure. And it's the kind of thing that someone running in 2018 or 2020 in Texas as a Democrat could take to donors and say, you know, look, if you get the things set up right, the voters are there. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been slumbering for a long, long time. It's been since 1994 that a Democrat won a statewide election in Texas.
Does Trump have any effect down ballot?
I think a lot of people are worried about that. There are four or five races in the Dallas area where Texas House members, Ken Sheets, Cindy Burkett, Linda Koop, and Rodney Anderson, all Republicans who should be legitimately worried about a negative coattail effect. There's a congressional race in a giant district that goes from San Antonio to El Paso.
Is this heard in Gallego?
Yeah, and it takes in most of the Texas border. And both of those guys are trying to make sure all of the voters know who the presidential candidate is. So Hurd is saying, you know, hey, that's Pete Gallego. He's with Hillary. And Gallego's doing the same thing. That's Will Hurd. He's with Trump. We'll see how that plays out.
Do you see where people are either aligning themselves with Trump or distancing themselves from him?
Well, in that one, you know, Hurd is saying, you know, he's distanced himself from Trump, particularly after the Access Hollywood tape came out. You know, it's hard enough when you're running for office just to control things that are going on in your own race. And then you introduce this outside force that could blow through all of your plans and everything. You know, how Trump goes is how I go. And I think a lot of those folks are nervous.
Is there any coattail effect, though, from Hillary Clinton down ballot?
I think she would ordinarily in Texas be a negative. You know, she has the disadvantage of being the second most unpopular candidate in modern polling history, running against the first most. So, you know, ordinarily it's a negative. And that's why you see some Republicans saying, well, yeah, but my opponent's with Hillary. Mm-hmm. That's still pretty powerful.
Finally, there's all this talk about Texas going blue. Do you see any reason for that to happen?
Are we
just talking about a case of a candidate some people don't like?
You know, that's going to be the question. On November 9th and 10th after this election, are we going to look at this and say that was an anomaly or the table has shifted? If the Democrats do particularly well in this election, better than they normally do, whether they win or not, they go into 2018 with a list of people who voted for Democrats in the closest year yet, mm-hmm. and we see what they can do with it. That would be the first sign of a ground shift if there is one. But, you know, you almost have to wait to 2018 to see if they did anything with it.
Ross Ramsey, thank you for being with me.
Always a pleasure.
That was KERA's Sam Baker talking with Texas Tribune executive editor Ross Ramsey. For the evening, mostly cloudy skies later on. There's a 30% chance for showers tonight with a low around 65. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with the high near 85. It's currently 83 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 79 in Tyler, and 84 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.